Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey, live every weekday at noon Eastern.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into a Monday, November 28th edition of Daily Faceoff Live. We're streaming live on Twitter, YouTube, as well as, of course, dailyfaceoff.com. He's former NHL netminder and current Daily Faceoff analyst, Mike McKenna. Mike, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was great. We did a couple days late. So yesterday I had my cousin and his family over, and I think I'm still getting some of the gravy out of my mustache, Frank. So all around a great success. Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, you had to use that broom for something up there. Good work on you. If you didn't see the picture of Mike's bird that he deep fried, check that out as well. That thing looked unbelievable. He posted it on his Twitter page. If you're hungry, don't look. Let's throw 2 minutes and 30 seconds up on the clock, and let's talk about a lot that happened in the hockey world over the weekend. What about the Seattle Kraken? I don't think we've spent enough time talking about the Kraken because, as our headline indicates, they ain't cracking under pressure this season when you take a look at how well they've played throughout the month of November. Here's the team order in terms of points percentage in the month of November as we're nearing a close. It's the New Jersey Devils, who went on a 13-game winning streak, followed by the Seattle Kraken, 9-1-1, and then the Boston Bruins, who are 18-3 this season. Mike, tells you how good the Kraken have been consistently for a number of weeks now.
Yeah, five straight wins for this club, and two of them are pretty big ones in overtime against the Rangers and Kings, a couple of really fast teams that you got to keep your feet moving to be able to keep up with. And Frank, I was really locked on the Seattle game Friday night against Vegas, and man, they didn't give the Golden Knights any space on the ice. Their pressure in the neutral zone and even in the offensive zone, they didn't allow Vegas to break out with any speed. They clogged up the middle, and you have to be committed to your systems and have players willing to do that on the ice to be find success with it, Frank. And I look down the lineup. Burakovsky's been fantastic for this club. Somebody who played a lesser role on better teams. Now he goes to Seattle. He really gets a chance to play top-line minutes. And other players that have come through, Vince Dunn's looking like a top-pairing defenseman. Yanni Gourde started a season slow. He's quietly played very, very well of late, giving them strength down the middle. And, of course, I think they've gotten some good goaltending at the start of the year. Now it's more team-based for me, Frank. And if they're going to keep it rolling, the only thing that makes me paranoid of this club, their penalty kill's not great. It's improved. It's not great. But this Kraken team, they're not just finding ways to win. I mean, they're staying in games, they're keeping their feet moving, and they're sticking to their systems. Frank, they look pretty good right now. Do you think they might be a playoff team?
29th in penalty kill. And I'm going to say I'm a believer in where the Kraken are heading, but I don't think they're a playoff team this year. And the reason for that is I just think Edmonton and Calgary, further down in the Pacific Division standings, they're going to climb back and catch them. It's a long season. There's still three quarters of the way to go. And the one thing that really stands out for me about Seattle, they've done a ton of things right. You look at their scoring leaders to this point in the season, they've got a burgeoning star in Matty Beniers, but they don't have any other true stars. And I think that's one thing that might also hold them back. What say you?
Yeah, I agree. Although I really like what Burakovsky's done. I don't know if he's going to be a 40, 50 goal scorer anytime soon, but this is a guy that's taken the bull by the horns. You know, you're really hoping that eventually somebody will, whether it's Beniers or even if Shane Wright finds his stride in the American League and gets a chance down the road again. But you're right. They're a scoring by committee team, and that always makes you a little nervous. You need game breakers. But this club's playing well now, and they're fun to watch, Frank.
All right, let's throw those standings up there again, Alex. And don't look now, but the Calgary Flames are tied with the Vancouver Canucks in points. Yes, the Flames have one game in hand, and yes, we have our Oilers and Flames logos switched for some reason. But nonetheless, you take a look at where the Flames are at in the standings, 9-9-3 after losing back-to-back games to close out their long road trip out east, and they head back to Alberta with a thud. It seemed like at some point they were, you know, starting to get things together a little bit, back-to-back games with five-goal efforts, and what stands out to me, Mike, is this team has really, really struggled to score. Elias Lindholm is their team's leading scorer, 16 points in 21 games, well south of a point per game. Jonathan Huberdeau has struggled in his transition to Calgary. Mackenzie Weegar on the back end has struggled in his transition to Calgary. And they're just not getting a lot going. You look at goals for per game, 25th. That's going to hold your team back.
It will. I mean, even you're not alone here. Daryl Sutter said after the game against Carolina, well, we had 340 goal scorers last year. Now, that's kind of a shot at your team a little bit and saying, oh, yeah, we need to score by committee and we need players to do more. But it's also saying, hey, where are our big dogs right now? Like even Kadri's production's come off a little bit. And Huberdeau, really, like you said, still hasn't found a stride. But, you know, you look at how important a Matthew Tkachuk was. In the last calendar year, him and Connor McDavid are right next to each other in points. So I think that we may have undervalued that a little bit. But I think really more than anything, this team's so Jekyll and Hyde, Frank. They're bad on the road. They can't score on the road, much less at home, that you've got a coach who really, really puts these players to task. And I think they get a response for a certain amount of time and that just wears off after a bit and they just can't keep it up. And now you're starting to see this. It's like, oh, we're getting crushed again here. Oh, here we go. Oh, we better get it going. I think they're just riding the emotional roller coaster of playing for a really demanding coach and having new bodies in the mix that didn't have him previously. You're starting to see that Jekyll and Hyde effect where they can't find consistency.
So are they cracking a little bit under the pressure? Like we knew that heading into the season, it would look like a different Flames team and that for the reasons that you mentioned with some of the guys that are gone from this team, 40 goal scorers last year, well, two of them ain't here anymore. That's probably a big part of it. Is the demands of the coach impacting how this team is performing? Has it reached that level?
Well, I think it's there for sure. I mean, I think the players are feeling it. At some point, it does start to come across. Now, if they can find that magic mojo and win some games, it goes right back into the same mode. But so far this year, we've seen it. They haven't been consistent. It's why they are where they're in the standings. You'll see them play a great game, and then they'll go lost defensively the next game. I'm not sure where this team's at right now, but I think they're really starting to feel the effects of just of playing for such a demanding guy in Sutter.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what's your level of concern for the Flames 20 games in? Are they in danger of missing the playoffs?
I wouldn't have it at – my level of concern is probably a 5.5 or 6, okay, of missing playoffs. Like, they should make playoffs. They have the skill to make playoffs. I still think there's runway for those players who came in, Huberdeau and the rest of them, to really hit their stride. But it's real. They got to press here, I think, by Christmas, by New Year's. We got to see a better record out of this club.
Yeah, it's real because as bad as we've talked about the Canucks being and their season being sunk, well, they're tied with the Flames at this point. Flames having one game in hand, of course. Let's talk about Connor Hellebuyck and some interesting comments from him. No surprise, someone that's really confident. I did a podcast today, the DFO Rundown, and we had Sarah Orleski on from the Jets to dive into the Jets season. And, you know, I was talking about Connor Hellebuyck, and I said he's someone that always wears a chip on his shoulder. And I was thinking to myself, you know, being a food-oriented larger man such as myself, a chip so big you could eat guacamole with it. That's how big the chip is on Connor Hellebuck's shoulder. He's having a Vezina caliber season, but no surprise that when an interesting and unique sequence played out on Friday night that he was out there saying, hey, we need a rule change here. This is against the Dallas Stars and it's Jason Robertson scoring, but Hellebuck's helmet was knocked off. The sequence continues and the Dallas Stars score with, I think, 15 seconds left in the game and tie it up. And you're thinking as a card-carrying member of the goalie union, I'm sure, that this is a play that needed to be blown dead immediately.
This is dangerous, straight up. Like, and the way the rule reads is that if there's an imminent scoring chance, Frank, play is supposed to continue. And I think you can easily contend in this situation. There's two passes made by the Dallas Stars before the puck ends up in the net after Hellebuck's lost his mask. That's too much time. Now, if there's a puck right on the doorstep and the shot happens as a mask is coming off, I can live with that, okay? That's course of play. But I've had this happen in my career previously. My mask came off a decade ago when I was in Albany, and I make two saves. You're going to see it here. I slide over, make a first save, and then a secondary save with no mask. And you really don't think about it in the moment. You're just doing what you can to get in front of it. But can you imagine if a goalie eats a puck in the face? Like, I remember being in the building as a kid when Brett Hull had the puck on his stick, looking at Stefan Fisse in the net for the Los Angeles Kings with no mask. And Hull backed off and the whistle blew. And I can't remember if the rule was different back then, but I really think that if the goalie's mask is off, why? What are we doing? He's facing the shot. The players have to get off the ice if they don't have a helmet on. If the play happens right as the puck's being shot, call it a goal. But that degree of separation to me, Frank, I think Hellebuck's right. That's dangerous. That needs to be blown dead.
Is this something that is just an easy change in your mind? That it's just as simple as that, make it black and white, GMs rubber stamp it at their next meeting in March?
I think it is if the NHL takes the initiative to make sure that the goalies' masks stay on better. They need to do some R&D. It needs to be led by the league, and it needs to be standardized across all mask makers to keep the buckles in place, to maybe install a chin strap that actually works, that keeps the helmets on. If they can do that, then you can change the rule. Because there's no excuse for a helmet coming off unless it's a really bad situation.
It's still mind-blowing to think that goalies in this league for a period of time never wore helmets, like, or masks.
Wild.
It's absolutely insane to think about. Let's move on and talk about Rachel Doherty and her departure from the Vancouver Canucks. Important to pass along the news. She filed a complaint with the British Columbia Human Rights Tribunal last week, details of that, which became public after she shared the news, saying that she is done hiding. And interesting to pick through her complaint. We have the story posted on dailyfaceoff.com, which alleges that she was discriminated against by the Canucks for her physical and mental disability, saying that she had met with the Canucks and Jim Rutherford prior to her being hired and stressed the importance of mental health. And then at varying points in her dealings with assistant general manager Emily Castonguay, who was also the team's first assistant GM, Doherty being the team's first assistant video coach and first female member of the coaching staff. She was promoted to that position in August. And that basically at that point, Castonguay had said to her that she didn't think that she was, allegedly said to her that she didn't think she was fit for the job mentally. This is a tough one, Mike. And, you know, you look at the situation, Castonguay issued a statement through the Canucks saying that that never happened. The Canucks also said that they, quote, completely disagree with the facts that were laid out by Rachel Doherty and her attorney. Where do you come out on this? What's your overall takeaway from seeing something like this?
Well, it's going to eventually play out in court or maybe behind closed doors and whatever happens with it. So we won't know the full details, I think, maybe ever with everything, or at least it's just going to be she said, she said. But bottom line, this is a bad look for the Canucks. And I think if you want to distill this down, at the bare minimum, you had an employee who was not comfortable in the situation that she was working with in Rachel Doherty. And anytime somebody's uncomfortable and the team's unaware and it leads to some, to me, there's a lack of communication in some form. There's a lack of understanding. There's a lack of just leadership there where you got to figure these things out. And I can't pass judgment because I wasn't there in the room on any of the other things. But to me, Frank, any situation I've seen like that in a working environment, that's what it all comes down to, is strong leadership and an ability to be able to have people talk and figure out what's going on and come up with solutions together. And instead you end up with a disgruntled employee who ends up getting let go. And now we've got legal proceedings against a team that it just seems avoidable to me. Do you agree with that?
I do. And I think even just the way that it played out, it was surprising to see her terminated so early on in her tenure. Like, she didn't even make it to the first game of the regular season after being promoted to that position on August 1st. it's a breakdown in a number of different ways, and I have no idea who's right or who's wrong. Maybe the truth is somewhere in between. But all I can say is this, for the reaction that we've seen on social media, is especially with all the different things that we've been through over the last couple of years in hockey, you know, Rachel Doherty's opening herself up here to, you know, this could be a case of perjury if she's found to be not truthful.
Why lie? So, you don't make these things up.
She's sticking her neck out there in terms of making these, this complaint public. And, this will play out, as you mentioned, over the next days, weeks, and months ahead. But just important to pass along the news, as we vowed that we would with all of these tough conversations. So yet another one for the hockey world to have. Mike, let's talk goaltending and this week's edition of the Blue Paint.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
All right, Mike, it's time for this week's edition of the Blue Paint, some goaltending talk, and that is delivered by DoorDash. Mike, we've reached the quarter point in the season. I'm going to ask you to put your GM hat on for a second and pretend like you are voting for the Vezina Trophy. Who would be getting your quarter season Vezina?
I'm checking the box for Ilya Sorokin of the New York Islanders. And Frankie, you're looking pretty smart here right now. He was your pick for the Vezina at the start of the year. I said, no, I don't think so, because only reason I don't think the Islanders are going to make the playoffs. Well, guess who's in a playoff spot right now, and guess who's leading them? It's Ilya Sorokin, .933 save percentage. And he's 7-2 in November, but it's really his consistency, Frank, that I've seen. I mean, 10 of 15 starts, he's allowed 2 goals or less. And I always had that as a personal rule. If I allowed 2 or less, I had a chance. Look at this save on Marner the other night. Rebound save, moving from his left to right, gets his blocker on it. What I love is his balance, Frank. A lot of goalies will end up on their butt or on their chest with this type of save. Whether Sorokin's on his knees or standing, he's so well balanced that he gives himself a chance to get the biggest blocking surface he can in front of the puck, rotates well, all those good things we talk about at goalie camps. And I thought that it was really capped off recently at a 49 save shutout against Edmonton a couple nights before. He beat Toronto in that game that we just saw a little bit of. And I think if you're looking at Vezina, Frank, you're looking right now Hellebuck, Ullmark. Some people are saying Logan Thompson. Those guys are all in the top 15, if you look at moneypuck.com, when it comes to what their team's expected 5-on-5 goal percentage is. Okay, they all live in a comfortable environment defensively and in goal support. That's not Sorokin. His team, the Islanders, they're 29th in expected 5-on-5 goal percentage. He's well outplaying his team. He's easily been their most valuable player, and I think that's why I think he's the top Vezina pick right now.
All right, quickly, you need to fill out your ballot, though. Who would be 2 and 3?
I think Hellebuyck is. Hellebuyck is probably the next one on the list in terms of value to his team and what he's done. And then from there, it's a crapshoot, man. I know Elmark has a bunch of wins, but Boston plays really well. So it's tough for me to pick a third. I'd have Elmark. Ottinger was in that mix early. He's fallen a little bit.
Interesting. Elmark has certainly not gotten as much love publicly as Hellebuyck and now Sorokin, but he's put together a damn good season for the Boston Bruins. Let's talk about the Florida Panthers and their crease, a team that's been underwhelming to start. What's going on with Spencer Knight and Sergei Bobrovsky and their split, and can this be Spencer Knight's net to close out the year?
No, it sure feels like it's turning into Spencer Knight's net, and the reason isn't just based on the statistic, Frank. You know, Knight's 6-3-2, so he's won more games than Bobrovsky. Bobrovsky's 4-5-1, but there's almost an entire goal against delta between those two goaltenders. Knight's allowing 2.6. You got Bob at 3.6. Save percentages go accordingly. Knight's well north of the 90 threshold. He's at 916. But beyond the stats here, what's happening is with Spencer Knight, I know the last game out on Saturday against St. Louis, it got away from him. Lost an OT, Jordan Kyrou break. But Knight is really more of the archetype of the modern goaltender of today, the last 3-4 years. Whereas Bob, if you took 10 years ago, he was the guy we all looked to. He was mobile. He was explosive. He knew how to post integrate. He could do all these things. Teams have figured that out. And Knight, on the other hand, now plays better within his posts. He's a bigger goalie. He gets more surface in front of it. There's not as many holes. And I think what you're really, if you bring this down, Bob's at the stage now where it's about breaking habits, whereas Knight is still learning habits. He's still growing. And Knight's been learning on the job. Like, he came straight to the NHL, Frank, as a goalie, you know, 20, 21 years old. That's just unheard of. So there's still room for him to grow. And now he's winning games. The numbers are starting to come along. And Bob just kind of stays at that same level he's been at for several years, where you keep waiting for him to grab it. And I'm not sure if he's ever going to be able to reclaim that net in Florida. It feels like it's Knight's at this point.
Yeah, and it feels like that's a long road for the Florida Panthers and Sergei Bobrovsky with the years left on his contract. There was lots of controversy, Mike, with Matt Murray and the Toronto Maple Leafs net continually coming off its moorings. The Minnesota Wild seemed to be pretty peeved about that. You wrote a really detailed story on dailyfaceoff.com where you said, hey, CSI Toronto, Matt Murray is innocent. And you laid out your case with video support as to why he is innocent, but I'm more curious, as we talked about a potential rule change with regards to goalies' helmets, what is the NHL perspective when it comes to nets and how differently they may be set up in each of the 32 arenas?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. And if you show up to a game beforehand and you watch the rink crew, they all have a different method in some cities. I've got a tweet up now from the rink crew in Pittsburgh. They walk out with a turkey baster, a bucket, and the guy slides the net over the hole and hopes that the peg drops into it. I would argue that's not good enough. You need a wet vac. You need to make sure the hole is dry that the peg slips into, because we found out the pegs float. Matt Murray here, these pegs were riding up and the net's getting knocked off. I know everyone out there, unless your goalie thinks that he's doing it intentionally, I can assure you it's not. It's coming off. In my pieces, I wrote why. But from what I've gathered around the league, the NHL is obviously aware of this. Okay, a couple of weeks ago at the GM meetings, it was a topic of conversation that Colin Campbell addressed. I think the league is actively trying to find a solution, or will be at least in the future. They need the pegs to at least stay in place for routine goalie post integrations, because goalies now push off of the post with their legs and their upper body, Frank. I don't know what the solution is going to be. I floated using magnets to keep the peg in. It was just a dumb idea I came up with in 5 seconds. But I think this is something that's very much on the NHL's radar, and they want a solution. It's just, can they come up with one, and what's the time frame? I don't have an answer for that, and I'm not sure the league does either.
Feels like an easy answer is streamline and educate. I mean, make it a step-by-step process. Give them the equipment and tools for these rink crews in order to make it happen. It shouldn't be that hard. You're right. I see various arenas have different setups. Some use the turkey baster, some don't. Some use the wet vac. Just be consistent. And I think if you're consistent, yeah, You'll end up with a better product. And they've done a great job with all those things and the ice crew, getting ice way better than it used to be, particularly in some hot environments. There's no reason you can't do that in terms of installing the pegs properly and the moorings to make sure that the net stays in place as goalies continue to leverage themselves off of it. Thanks to Mike McKenna for this week's edition of the Blue Paint. Lots of interesting stuff in there. This has been delivered by DoorDash. You see the promo codes there at the bottom of your screen. Game Day 25 gets you 25% off your first order of $15 or more. All your favorites and more delivered right to your door by DoorDash. All right, Mike, it's time for our daily face-off inbox question of the day. Hit us up on Twitter, hashtag AskDFO. We've had a great few questions filing in here. This one comes from Cameron, who is based in the YEG, and he says, one, have you confirmed Tyler will eat cat food when Boston clinches the playoff spot? And the answer is yes. Two, a quarter of the way through the season, which teams currently in a playoff spot won't make it and which teams replace them? We talked a little bit about that at the end of last week as we got to Thanksgiving. But, Mike, this is the one I want to throw at you. Give me one headline or sentence to describe the first quarter of the season.
I'm going to riff on what John Tortorella said the other night. It's a young, dumb league, but I'm going to add to it. It's a young, dumb league, and it's better than it's ever been. That's my headline, okay. Frank. How about you?
I like it. I'm going to say we're going streaking. Like this way this season has started, roller coaster wise. Yeah, I mean, Frank the Tank, like why not? For me, it's you look at the Devils and their run that they've been on, the Boston Bruins and how great they've been, and some incredible losing streaks. The St. Louis Blues, first team in NHL history. They start 3-0, then they lose 8 straight. They're the first team following an 8-game losing streak to come back and win their next 7 after that. It's been like that all season long. We've had prolonged winning streaks and losing streaks. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. It has been a very streaky start to the first quarter of the season. Let's get to Tyler Remchuk for our daily face-off points bet, daily bet segment. Tyler, what do you got?
Okay, first of all, you made up this false narrative that it's a playoff spot for the Bruins. I was very clear on Oilers Nation every day. It was if they win the division. So again, that's probably going to happen. I am somewhat accepting that I'm going to have to eat cat food. But still, it's winning the division. So I will not stand for
it. That's not even the most important question. It's not because we know this is going to happen now. Yeah, it's going to be wet or dry and how much?
Oh, a whole thing of friskies. The whole 10.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm very upset about my decisions in life. Anyways, let's get into today's slate, courtesy of our friends at PointsBet Canada. It's a hard topic change. Let's talk about a spot I love. It's the Tampa Bay Lightning, even though they're on the road, on the puck line. They are 6-3-1 in their last 10, covering the puck line in 4 of those 6 wins. On the year, they've covered the puck line in more than half of their victories. So I like them to win tonight, and I think taking them to cover is a great spot. They're taking on a Sabres team that is 2-8-0 in their last 10 games, and they've failed to cover in 7 of those 8 losses. Tampa Bay plus 165 on the puck line. I absolutely love it. Out in the Vegas-Columbus game, I like taking Jack Eichel to grab an assist in this hockey game. It's hit in 4 of his last 6, and the Blue Jackets have allowed 19 goals against in their last 5. Eichel's having a tremendous season, and I think him getting an apple tonight is a lock. And also, quickly to wrap it up, 3 shot props for you. Jason Robertson, over 3.5, has hit in 9 of his last 10 games. That is a great spot at minus 130. Pavel Buchnevich in that same game, over 2.5 shots. That's hit in 5 of his last 7. Great spot there at plus 125. And also Evan Bouchard in Edmonton scored 2 goals on Saturday. I like his shot prop set at 2.5. And once again, paying plus money at plus 120, he's hit it in 4 of 6. So there you go, Frank. 3 shot props and 2 straight up bets for tonight's NHL slate.
Love to see it. Speaking of the Sabres as well, Lance Lasowski had an interesting report in the Buffalo News this morning saying that the Sabres are one of the teams that has inquired with the Arizona Coyotes about Jacob Chychrun. So keep an eye on the Sabres there as well. Thanks to Tyler Remchuk for our Points Bet Daily Bet segment. That brings us to garbage time with Mike McKenna. Mike, what's caught your eye? What's caught your attention from around the NHL?
Well, how about a featherweight bout taking place between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Vancouver Canucks the other night? You had Jonathan Marchessault squaring off with Connor Garland. This was Garland's first NHL fight, which blew me away because the guy's such a rat on the ice. And I can remember him being in and around my crease all the time when facing off against him when he was with Tucson in the American League and then in the NHL as well, seeing what he does there. And you look at these two, and it was a pretty good scrap, man. Like, Marshy's one of the – he's a pretty active guy on the ice, loves to chirp, loves to beak. And these two have gone back and forth for a couple of years now from the time that Garland was in Arizona before going to Vancouver. And it finally hit fever pitch and they went at it. This was great, man. You rarely see this any longer. And I think it was two guys that just finally had enough of one another, decide to let it go. And good on Garland. It's his first one. It's Marchessault. I think it's his third in the NHL, I want to say. And obviously the linesman's having a great time. Look at the smile on his face, Frank. Look at the size difference, too.
Disappointment. I was going to say, these linesmen are such monsters now, and rightfully so, because they need to get in there and do the dirty work. They should have just let him go. Like, you could see them sort of hopping in. They didn't even really let them square off. It could have been a way better tilt than it was. Yeah, I don't know. Head on over to hockeyfights.com.
Yeah, and it was the second one of that game, too. Yeah, Dakota Jackson and Keegan Kolesar were swinging for the fences before this one. So hockeyfights.com is going to have both of those up, and you can take a look at both of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, head on over there and throw those a rating if you can. And interesting just to see how quickly the linesman was in there, and as you mentioned, the size difference. Always love a good scrap. Thanks to Mike McKenna. That'll do it for this edition of Daily Faceoff Live, a Monday, November 28th edition. Thanks to Tyler Yaremchuk, as well as our head of production in Alex Allar. Check out the DFO Rundown, as we mentioned, episode 174 posted today. In-depth Winnipeg Jets talk, the Central Division leading Winnipeg Jets talk. That is posted today wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back right with you 12 noon Eastern on Tuesday. You know where to find us. Like and subscribe on YouTube if you haven't already. And until then, have a great day and enjoy the games, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Are you ready for playoff hockey? Well, listen up, because I've got something for you. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of the questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. Simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total for the game is going to go over or under a certain amount, and the strategy doesn't stop there. Next up, you're picking which player is going to light the lamp first, and finally, you got to predict which period in the game is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That is all up to you. Now let's talk prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. That's right. Treat yourself to some nation gear or even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the round winners, cash money. Cold, hard cash. We're putting real dough in your pockets simply for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. It's game time, folks. Head over to games.dailyfaceoff.com now and prove your puck prowess.